All right, nice to be with you today. We've got game three of the Giants and the Phillies. We're live at the Public House. Let's go up to the booth and bring in the Hall of Famer, John Miller. John, how are you?
John Miller reporting live from the broadcast booth here at Oracle Park. Marty?
Yes, you are. What a night last night. We don't see many games like that in this park. A couple of splash hits, comebacks, the bullpen melting down. Last night had a little bit of everything.
Well, and some things that we don't like to see, and which is the bullpen having problems like that with the lead late. And although it still, for me, goes back to earlier in the game when Tyler Beattie was everything that the Giants had ever hoped he would be, and maybe even more, and then all of a sudden walking the pitcher, and then it just all came tumbling down around him just like that. So I think the Giants, and Bruce Bochy talks about that on his Bochy show, still to come, Marty, and he calls it the maturing process. But so we saw why they're so anxious to have the ability that he possesses, but at the same time, the learning curve, what is still missing, and what needs to happen for that to really make him a dominant big league pitcher.
And, you know, we did see a superstar last night. The home runs by Harper were in this ballpark. They were just memorable shots.
Well, the first one was long enough out in the center field bleachers, right where the ballpark starts to get large. And I think they said the estimate was 420 for that one. And the next one was truly breathtaking. We don't often see guys go over that 20-foot-high wall. Out fairly close to that 421 sign, and over everything, and then not just in the water, but way out into the water. And I, Marty, maybe I'm not equipped mathematically to judge these kind of things, but when I'm sitting in the ballpark and I'm looking at that 421 sign in the ballpark, and then I see the 20-foot-high wall and several rows of bleachers above that, and then the arcade, and then you got the port walk outside, and then the ball looked like it was 35 feet into the water away from the port walk, and then they announced, StatCast estimated, it was 456. And I don't see that. I mean, how could it go all that distance? And I know it wasn't right over the 421 sign. Maybe that's where I'm missing out on this. But anyway, it was a pretty spectacular shot. And I was already wowed enough by the home run down the right field line by Stephen Vogt, which the estimate was 423 on that one right down the line. Hit it over the 309 marker, and apparently another 124 feet after that. And the question on that one is just, was it going to be fair or go foul? And it shot right. It went above the foul screen that comes off the foul pole there, which makes it a little more difficult for the umpires. I don't know why that screen doesn't go all the way to the top up there. I guess the added extension of the foul pole is actually the flag pole where they can put the banner up after they win. Maybe that's it.
John, I think that the Bryce Harper home runs last night will stick with every fan who was in attendance, but I want to ask you about his final at-bat and the 98-mile-an-hour heat that Yandel Gustave threw by him. Yandel has come in and had 8 scoreless innings for the Giants, and I think that last night that 98-mile-an-hour fastball might have opened some eyes as to what he's been doing since he got called up from the AAA Sacramento squad, where he really wasn't having a good season.
Well, he has pitched 8 innings, as you say, no runs, only 5 hits allowed, and it's been 4 appearances, each 2 innings at a time. So he's not just coming in where they got, say, 3 right-handed hitters in a row, and then that's what his night consists of, or, you know, 2 righties and a lefty. He's going 1 inning and then coming back for another inning. So he's not facing just right-handers. He's facing everybody they've got in the lineup in that stretch, and often 6 hitters and sometimes 7 or 8 hitters. So it was impressive. And the one thing he has not done is get strikeouts, even though he's throwing 97, 98, 99 miles an hour. But that was a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. It was up, and it showed me that he's got the kind of stuff where he could get a lot of strikeouts, but he seems to be more of a pitch-to-contact guy, and so far it had not been a whole lot of hard contact either.
John, today we see Vince Velasquez, the left fielder of the future for the Phillies. And it's been matched up before with Samardzija, but I'm anxious to see this guy. He threw a ball, he threw someone out left-handed, a ball ricocheted off him, and he threw him out left-handed from third base. He's quite an athlete.
Well, they had that wild game that went extra innings, and they ran out of pitchers, and they ended up sticking him in the outfield. The center fielder, the young guy, Roman Quinn, ended up pitching two innings in that game. He pitched a scoreless inning and then came back for another one. And finally, he gave up a run, and I think it was while Quinn was on the mound that Velasquez threw out a guy at the plate trying to score. And why not? He's got a great arm. You worry. I would be worried about that if I were his manager. Maybe you could injure his arm with stuff like that, because he's used to warming up, and then he pitches, and before each inning he warms up. But then you stand in the outfield late at night, and you make a few throws before the inning starts. And then later on, a ball gets hit to you, and all of a sudden you have to uncork your best fastball and throw it a long way. And his arm is not actually used to that kind of thing, although it didn't seem to faze him at all. So anyway, that was kind of exciting to see that kind of a thing in a big league ball game.
Oh, come on, it's great. That's part of baseball today. They're making rules that say position players can't do it unless they do this or that. Used to be open season, so we'll see more of it. We'll see more of those two-way players. All right, we'll take a break with John, come back, talk with him right after this. All right, here at the Public House, where we have our Hawaiian Airlines contest going on, John Carman has a question for you. Go ahead, Carman.
Hey, John.
Carman.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
I get to ask you a question today, which is very exciting for me.
Any question on any subject, whether baseball, the real world, or the metaphysical. Go ahead.
Oh, you're really opening it up for me. I am going to ask you about baseball. We can talk about the rest of the stuff upstairs when we have lunch or something. But, you know, the wild card spot is crazy. Everything is bunched up. I've never really seen anything like this where there's so many teams in contention. People are clawing to get back into it. The Mets also. How do you think this thing is going to turn out?
Well, I mean, right now the Mets are just a half game behind the second wild card spot, so they're very much into it and had their great game last night with a spectacular comeback. The Giants, who got right back close there for a while, are now four games behind the second wild card team. And what's more, Cincinnati's just a half game behind the Giants, so that's eight teams altogether within... what, four and a half games of that second wild card spot. All of those teams feeling very much alive in that race. But the Giants are going to have to get things turned back around after that great hot stretch where they got right back into it. They've lost eight of their last 11 now. So I think that's close to being as far as they can go and expect to be able to get back into it, because I don't think they can count on going 17-3 again anytime soon. So they need to be able to be in a spot where, you know, they can just play well and win series and be in that race. So this long dry spell, it's, what, 11, 12 days now where they've only won the three games, that's got to end.
Yep, bad time of year. August is a time you want to be right up there. John, one last thought for you, Samardzija. When we saw him at the end of spring training, we weren't even sure he could make his next start. He's had a tremendous season for the Giants.
Well, he has just been excellent, and he has been behind Bumgarner, the Giants' most reliable pitcher. So he had the game earlier this week where the pitch count got him. It was kind of a small strike zone, but he did pitch really well in Philly last week at the start of that or I guess it was the middle game of that series in Philly a week ago Wednesday. Six shutout innings, threw only 90 pitches, and the Giants jumped out with a 5-0 lead. So he could have kept going, but they thought, well, the bullpen's fresh and ready to go, so let's use it. But and that's been he's been doing this since about 2 months' time now. He had a great month of July, but he also pitched really well for most of the month of June. So it's exciting to see. His confidence is very high. And, you know, a guy who went through arm troubles for the first time in his entire career, his entire life. And that can play with your head a little bit. So it's great to see him throwing free and easy and confidently. And it's not the same kind of stuff that he used to have, where he could just come in and he knew that he always had 97 miles an hour in his hip pocket. Now he's more of a pitcher, and he really relishes that challenge and knowing that he's got the ability and the sharpness to do it.
Yeah, it's working for him. It's terrific. All right, John, thank you so much. We'll see you shortly.
When?
Probably in about 17 minutes. Okay. We'll see you.
All right, Marty, thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, that is a great Hall of Famer, John Miller. Pre-game Diamond Notes next, right here on the Sports Leaders.